morning. It's good to see you here this morning. We welcome you into our service. If you're here as a visitor, great to have you with us. If you're watching online, good that you've joined us, especially if this is your first time, you're very welcome. And then, of course, we're delighted to have as our speaker this morning and indeed this evening, Pastor Ian Wilson, all the way from Rathfrieland. I think it's a bit foggy for him coming up here, and we give praise to the Lord for journeying mercies for Ian. So Ian has been with us before, and we are delighted to have him back again this morning. 5 o'clock this evening, our prayer meeting. If you leave your house just a wee bit earlier, you can come down here just that little bit earlier and come into the prayer meeting and pray for our evening service. After the evening service, as I said, which is being taken by Ian, we have our communion. Then Tuesday, 7:30, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting, and that will be taken by David Good. Now, I know it's the first Tuesday of the month, and we normally have just the prayer meeting, but we are reverting back to the Bible study and prayer meeting. Wednesday, the ladies are having their monthly fellowship meeting, and it's supper followed by a time of fellowship and festive music by James and Glynn, and the supper will be immediately at 7:30. So the meeting starts at 7:30, starts with the supper, so ladies, forgo your Chinese that night. On Thursday at 7:30, we have our quarterly church business meeting for members, and I can give you an agenda at the end of the meeting, or send me your email address and I will email you out one. Next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, our speaker is Josh Patterson. And then the speaker at 6 p.m. is the Reverend Andrew Quinn from Ballycraigie. A couple of other announcements. Matthew and Liz Cuthbert, who work here in the province with New Tribes Mission, have a prayer letter, and that's on the display board at the back. Take the letter, read it, and do pray for Matthew and Liz and all the work that they do here with New Tribes. Then, I know I thanked everyone yesterday at the Senior Citizens Dinner, but again, can I just publicly thank those who helped in any way? There was a whole range of people, from catering to setting out chairs and decorating and everything, cooking the lot, and people who took part in the programme. So I want to say thank you to all of you for making yesterday such a good day. Then finally, on our church prayer calendar this morning, we are thinking of our Bible study and prayer meeting, so pray that the Lord will really undertake, as we gather to study his word and as we meet together for prayer, that he will really challenge us. And if you don't go to the prayer meeting and Bible study, here's a wee challenge for you. Let's come along on Tuesday night and start your New Year's resolutions early this year. These are all the announcements, and of course they're all made, God willing. I'm just going to ask David to come now and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you we are found in your presence today, Lord. We thank you this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad on it. And Father, we just thank you for each and every head that's home that's represented here this morning. Father, we thank you that they had a desire to come here this morning to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you for even what happened yesterday, Lord, and we thank you for each and every person who did help, Lord, for that encouraging day, Lord, for the Senior Citizens Dinner, Lord. And we just thank you for what you've done yesterday, Lord, and that wee time of fellowship for the people, Lord. So Father, just be one of our number today, Lord. And Lord, we wouldn't be weary of our brothers and sisters and sitting in this meeting today, Lord, and are in the house of mourning, Father. Father, would you comfort each and every one, whether it's been a recent death or one a while ago and still struggling with it, Lord. But the psalmist said, Father, my flesh and my heart faileth me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, Father, would you be with each and every home that's been, Lord, Father God, would you just be with them, these homes that's been separated from loved ones, Lord. Lord, we think of June Cosgrove this morning and Lynn and Adele, Father, and others, Father. We just lift them before you, Lord. Would you meet them at the very point of their need, Father? Father, as this wee service continues this morning, Father, we thank you for what you've done for each and every one of us, Father. We thank you for the traveling mercies you give to our brother Ian Wilson this morning, Father, to come and preach thy truth, Father. We thank you, Lord. We have seen He is a faithful man of God, Father, and give him travel mercies again for later on, Father. But, Father, would you be his portion today, Lord? Would you meet him at the very point of his need, Father, when he comes up here this morning to speak your word, Lord? It's your word and your truth, Father. So, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you give Ian the liberty and the freedom to speak your truth in here this morning? Father, we just leave everything with you, Lord, and we just thank you even for, Lord, the sacrificial offering of the people of this church, Lord, to make things possible here this morning, Father. We thank you, whether that's online or on the envelopes out at the back, Lord. We just thank you for it, Lord. But, Lord, we thank you for the greatest sacrifice ever, your Son, for our sins. So, Father, as we just continue here now to worship you in spirit and truth, Father, I just pray, Lord, you'd be with each and every one of us, Father, and that we would be sing our hearts to our God, to your glory. And Father, we just thank you for each and everything that's done here today, Lord. And we just pray that it'll be pleasing to you, our Heavenly Father, this morning. So Father, we just leave this with you as we continue to worship you now. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
The prophet Zechariah writes these words in chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's coat. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's a word that simply means coming. And so let us rejoice together as we sing to the coming King who came down from his glory. If you're able, please stand to sing. If you're not able to stand for all three verses, please feel free to sit down at any stage. That's not a problem at all. But if you're able, stand and join together in singing.
Yeah.
band is singing, please sit down. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Not easy to sing in the morning, and I'm speaking for myself when I say that. The old morning voice is not usually as good as the evening voice. Now, boys and girls, this is your special song, and we're going to ask you to come to the front as we usually do, and we'll sing a little song together. And I have brought my Christmas box with me this morning, but you won't get to see what's in it until after we sing the song. All right, let's come up to the front.
And is there a time of year that it's getting close to? Can anybody tell me? Does nobody know what's close? Christmas? When's that? Oh, right, when Santa comes, okay. Is he coming to all your houses? Good, I'm glad to hear that. Well, this wee song this morning is singing about Christmas being a time of joy, because not only do you get presents, but the most important thing, God sent his Son down to be with us on earth. So this tune is very familiar to you, so I hope you can sing along. See what's in this box Brian has, and I'm sure you are too. A special box only for boys and girls. Whoa. Out now to Stepping Stones, and just a wee reminder to anyone in the church with children that are visiting with us, there is a Sunday school for the boys and girls out in the other hall, and there's a creche for young children if anyone needs to use that facility. This next song we're doing is basically the chorus of a well-known Christmas carol, but with a few new verses to it. So we'll all stand to sing.
Oh, come let us adore Him.
We're going off the Christmas theme now, and this one's I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, which he's speaking to all of us, come unto me and rest, because we all get weary in this world today, and the only rest is in Christ Jesus. So we pray that everyone here would put their trust in him. Just thank you for your presence with us here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that where two or three are gathered together, you are in the midst, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth from this church, Lord. And Lord, we pray that this morning, Lord, that you'll give an opening for a heart here this morning, Lord, to hear thy word, maybe for the first time. But we pray, Lord, that you will bless what is said to us. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for your very kind words of welcome. Thank you for all who have helped this morning already in the meeting, and we'll look to the Lord to bless our coming together. Let's come this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 13, please. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I travelled up from Refrailand this morning. It's a fairly reasonable journey, but anyway, with good roads, once you get out of the Refrailand area, you're onto the A1, the M1, and then the M5, so we're very good roads. So even though there was very heavy fog in South Down, you have good roads and it makes the driving not too bad. But you can remember when your children were young and perhaps even not so young, and you set out on a journey, and that question's oft asked as you go around even the first corner, are we nearly there yet? Well, when you listen to me preaching this morning, I have a very simple point to make. but it might take me a wee while to get there. And you may be saying during the message, is he nearly there yet? Stay with me. Stay with me. I believe the Lord has something to say to all of us here this morning. If you wanted a title for what I'm going to say this morning, it's very simple. He is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Just going to read one verse, but I'll be referring to a few other scriptures. If you can stay with me, please do. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 14, please. First Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 14. And Samuel's saying these words to Saul, King Saul. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. And because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. I just want to thank the Lord for the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. I'm going to look at a snapshot of the life of David this morning. If we were to take some characters in Scripture, we sometimes don't have much material. Enoch's a wonderful character in Scripture. You read of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. You read of Enoch in the book of Jude. You find him mentioned again in the book of Hebrews. But that's it. That's all we have when it comes to someone like Enoch. When it comes to Abraham, there are some 14 chapters about Abraham, not indeed counting other references to Abraham as well. However, when we come to David, there are over 60 chapters in the Word of God. And I would say if we went into the Psalms, we'd find even more than that, some of the wonderful, majestic Psalms that were penned by David. We discover, in David, we discover in the Psalms something of his praise. He could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We find his prayers in the Psalms. Psalm 5, for instance, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. You discover David was a man who praised the Lord. David was a man who prayed. We find something of David's prophecies in the Psalms, even Psalm 22, that wonderful psalm that takes us to the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's so much we could say about David this morning. He was a son, he was a shepherd, he was a singer, he was a servant, he was a soldier, he was a sufferer. David knew what it was to suffer. He was a seer, he was a supplicant, he was a scholar. He eventually became sovereign of Israel. He was a sinner. And you read that when you read through the life of David. He was indeed a great saint. But sadly, he was a great sinner. And he had to seek that restoration of the Lord when he cried, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David even proved at times to be a savior. When he stepped in and he led Israel to victory after victory, perhaps the most famous being the victory over Goliath. He's described in our reading this morning as a man after his own heart. And that's repeated by Paul in Acts 13 verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up then David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will. I'm not going to look at every detail of David's life. It would take 30 to 40 Lord's Day mornings, and even then I'm not sure that we would exhaust it. As I say, I have a very simple point that I believe the Lord has laid in my heart this morning for you here in Abbot's Cross. In Jeremiah, the prophet records the words of the Lord when the Lord said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Sometimes you get a modern translation has changed that, and it talks about, I know the plans I have for you. And really, Jeremiah was bringing the word of the Lord to a people who were being misled. They were given false hope, false assurance. They were saying, peace, peace, when there was absolutely no peace. And yes, there was a promise of restoration for Israel. There was a promise of a better day. But what they were going through at that time, when they were taken into Babylon for captivity, it wasn't going to be good for them. But God reminds them, I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. I'm working in your life. When he talked about Israel nationally, and of course the individuals as well, I believe God had a definite plan for David. And I want to look at that plan that God had for David's life, and want to see how it worked out this morning. If you're in 1 Samuel, I want you to turn back to the book of Ruth. I say you don't have to stay with me, but if you can, I think most of us know something about the story of Ruth. It's one of those books, and many people find it their favourite. I want to talk first of all about David's destination here, and I want you to see where God was working. In the book of Ruth, is really, it begins with Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and remember there was a famine in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the house of bread. Bethlehem is the place where God wanted them to be. However, things began to get difficult, and this was a test of their faith. Would they trust the Lord, or would they go to Moab? Moab is described as a washpot in the Word of God. If you like, it's the place of the backslider. And so they have a decision to make. Will they stay the course? Will they trust the Lord through thick and thin? Or will they run for the hills? Sadly, they decided to go into Moab. And when they got to Moab, some terrible things happened. Look at chapter 1, verse 3 of Ruth. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of one was Orpha, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion, that's the two boys, died also, both of them. And the woman were left of her two sons and her husband. So we have three widow women now. We have Naomi, we have Orpha, and we have Ruth. And they're in Moab. And these two Moabitess women had married these two men. And now the men were all gone. I believe God works in the heart of Naomi, and she's coming back to Bethlehem. But what about the two girls? Look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people." Orpha decided she would go back. We never hear of her again. Never read of her in Scripture again. And she went back unto her gods. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Ruth became a child of God. Ruth says, "Your God's going to be my God. Where you go, I'm going." And so now Naomi's coming back to Bethlehem, and she's bringing this Moabitess woman called Ruth, who had turned from idols to seek the true and the living God. Now, come over to chapter 4. You know the story of how that it's a love story, and how Boaz and Ruth come together. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." And so we have a son born to Ruth and Boaz. Glance down to verse 17. "And the woman, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, There's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Now, glance down to verse 21. "And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David." Now, here is David's great-grandmother, Ruth. She had no idea that from her would come this great man called David, 2 to 3 generations down the pathway. And all I want you to see this morning is that God had a plan for this young man called David. This plan began way down in the land of Moab, in the most unlikely place, with the most unlikely person. And God brought these circumstances about that eventually this young lad called David would be born to a man called Jesse. I want you to see God's hand in this situation. Even before David was born, David had no part in this. David didn't even exist at this time. But God knew what was happening, and God had a plan, and God had a purpose for David. Let me say this morning, if you're saved this morning, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God's working in your life when you don't understand it and you know absolutely nothing about it. Now stay with me with David till we see how this all plays out. I want you to come back into 1 Samuel. You will know how that Israel wanted a king. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm working you hard this morning. I haven't come here to work. I've come here for an easy time. You're going to do all the work. 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 5. And here's a sad verse of scripture. And said unto him, this is the elders at that time, and they're speaking unto Samuel here. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge like all the nations. There's a couple of sad things here. It's sad that Samuel's sons, this great man of God, didn't walk in their father's pathway. It's sad when you see your own children turn away from God and go in a different direction. And how this must have broken the heart of this old man called Samuel. And maybe this morning you're that child. Maybe this morning you're the one in the family who has never accepted Christ as your Savior. And the family are saved, and if the Lord Jesus was to come back, they're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, but that circle is going to be broken because you're not saved. Whose heart are you breaking this morning because you don't know Christ? But here's something else. They wanted a king because they wanted to be like the nations. They wanted to be like the world. Isn't that sad when that happens, that God's people want to be like the world? And they wanted just to be like all the other nations. They didn't want to be this peculiar people that God had chosen them to be. And of course, Saul then becomes king. David has no idea about this, of course. Samuel doesn't know what's happening here. Now come over to chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. I promise you, we will get there eventually. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse number 3. And here's God speaking to Saul. Remember, Saul was anointed king, and for a while Saul was an obedient king. He had some victories, but then the real Saul stood up. 1 Samuel 15 verse 3. And God says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And that was God's word to Saul. But Saul disobeyed. Look at verse 24, 1 Samuel 15. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. It's an awful thing to fear man and not to fear God. Sometimes we're faced with decisions, and the choice is, do we fear man or do we fear God? Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey man? Saul used this as an excuse, and he said, I feared the people. Verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath lent the kingdom from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbour of thine that is better than thou. And God has a replacement here for Saul. Saul doesn't know who it is, Samuel doesn't know who it is, and David hasn't a clue what's going on. I just want you to see that God's at work. God was at work down in Moab, bringing about a situation that eventually this young boy called David would be born. God's at work here in Saul. Saul has been rejected. Saul has disobeyed. And Samuel knows that God has someone lined up, but he doesn't know who it is. And David doesn't know who it is. And Saul doesn't know who it is. But God is at work here. God's still at work. Now, come to 1 Samuel chapter 16. You will know how David eventually is anointed to be king. Look at 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn? Samuel was really annoyed because Saul had been such a disappointment. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And here now, the Lord's revealing a little bit more to Samuel here. It's going to be one of Jesse's sons. Samuel doesn't know who it is. Jesse doesn't know who it is. And indeed, none of the boys know anything about it. Glance down to verse number 6. You know this story. I don't have to go over it all for you this morning. It came to pass when they were come, and these are the boys, they looked upon Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Son after son after son comes along. And Samuel looks on the outward appearance. And this is where this verse comes from. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And these boys paraded, and it seemed as if these men, surely there must be one of them, but young David, he was out looking after the sheep. He wasn't even considered. He wasn't even considered a possibility. It was as if he didn't even exist. Verse 10 tells us, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And of course, David is brought into the scene. Verse number 12. And he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. I want you to take those 3 words. This is he. God put his hand upon this young man. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. This is he. Let me say this. God hasn't changed. And if you're saved this morning, God has put his hand upon you. And God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And I want you to see how this has worked out in the life of David. Only God can do this. Bible College can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Only God can do this. And God has put his finger upon this young man, David, and said, this is he. I want you to see the destination. I want you to think, secondly, of the preparation. Come over into the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17. This, of course, is where David faces Goliath. And you'll know how the family were furious and the older brothers were jealous of him. But here's the bit I want, down to verse number 34. Because even Saul, who was still keen at that time, he wondered, what's this young lad David going to do? When David steps up and says, I'm not afraid of Goliath, I'll take him on. Verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, saying he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. I just want you to see how God was working in this young lad's life. David was out looking after the sheep, just a teenager. He had no idea that one day he was going to be anointed king. He didn't know what he was going to face in his life. And as he was there came the lion and the bear, and it was there somehow David learned something about courage. David learned something about faith. David no doubt learned in those hills, night by night, he learned how to sing. He learned how to play the harp. It was there that he learned some wonderful poetry. No doubt it was there he learned how to use a stone and a sling. And simply this morning, God was preparing David for what lay ahead. What are you going through this morning? What's happening in your life? What has God brought into your life? What are you having to deal with? David had a lion and a bear. He had no idea that God was going to use this to prepare him for something bigger and something greater. I just want you to see, God has his finger upon this young man called David. And God's preparing him. And I wonder what God's preparing you for. You see his destination. You see his preparation, how God had been working in this young lad's life. I want you to see the opposition. Come over to chapter 18. If you're saying, is he nearly there yet? Not just, but stay with me, please. 1 Samuel chapter 18. You would think, when God sets his finger upon you, you would think when God speaks to you through his word, and you have a definite leading, and you know you are where God wants you to be, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, you would feel then, surely life should be plain sailing from here on in. David's learning a lesson that all of us have learned. But even when we're walking with the Lord, even when we're seeking to serve the Lord and to be all that God wants us to be, there's going to be opposition. Not everybody's going to be happy. I remember as a young believer growing up in the church up in Coke and being given the opportunities to preach the word, and I was so thrilled, and I thought everybody would be thrilled. Because you could see other young men as well who were taking the opportunity. Surely everybody would be happy, but they weren't. They weren't. There were those who became jealous, envious, like Joseph's brothers when he had the coat that the father had given him. There were those who didn't rejoice with you. And here's David's discovering there's going to be opposition. Look at 1 Samuel 18 verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, this is after Goliath was defeated. Remember how they had sang, and they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and unto me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more than the kingdom? And just look at verse 9. Saul eyed David from that day forward. Isn't that an awful thing? Remember, Saul's a believer because God gave him a new heart. And he eyed David from that day forward. Can I put it in Ulster language? He says, David, you're charge marked. Your card's marked. It's an awful thing when a child of God eyes a child of God to do them harm, to cause them to trip up. And David's facing opposition here. Saul eyed him from that day forward. Look into chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. See how serious it got? Here's a young lad. Go way back down into Moab. God's at work in the life of Ruth, in the life of Boaz, and the life of Naomi, bringing it around that this young lad, David, will be born one day in Bethlehem. And God's working things out, and David is being prepared as a young shepherd boy for what God had in store for him. And God is working away in the background. And even though God has a plan and a purpose, here comes the opposition. You see the destination, you see the preparation, you see the opposition. Are you facing opposition? And all you want to do is to be what God wants you to be. David could have thrown the towel in here, but he didn't. Now I want you to see David's depression. Come over to 1 Samuel 22. Just, I'm taking you through this. David became an outlaw. He had to go on the run, and we find him in a cave. Imagine someone that God put his finger upon and said, this is he. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. Now we find David lying in a cave. A man on the run. And he's in this dark, dirty, damp cave. And David, look at chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, where his brethren and all his father's house heard it. They went down hither to him. And here's David in this cave, this man of God, this man after God's own heart, someone who God had put his hand upon, and God has a plan and a purpose for, and yet we find him in this cave. How did he feel in the cave? Wouldn't you love to interview him? Well, psalm after psalm, David writes in this cave. One of the psalms he has written is Psalm 142. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice
unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him all my trouble. Do you ever feel like that? David just poured out everything to the Lord. He says, I looked on my right hand, Psalm 142, verse 4, and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Do you ever get to that place in your life? David says, my spirit is overwhelmed. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He looks around. He hasn't a friend in the world. Do you ever get there? I looked on my right and my left, and there's no man, no one cared for my soul. Now, it wasn't true. What about Jonathan, his best friend? What about the Lord? He wouldn't forsake him. But David had got to such a low point, living in this cave, he says, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Now, you go to David in the cave of Adullam, and you say, David, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. David would have told you to get out of the cave. Dear believer, what cave are you in this morning? Do you feel like David this morning? No man cares for my soul. Do you feel all alone? And I say it reverently, does it even appear as if God has forgotten about you? God has turned his back on you? Here's a young man, singled out by God, finger upon him, this is he. And here we find David stuck in a cave. Are you in a cave this morning? Do you think the Lord has walked away from you? Do you think God has given up on you? You see the destination, you see the preparation, you see the opposition, you see the depression. I want you to see his regression, because things are going to get worse for David. Come over to 1 Samuel chapter 27. Look at verse number 1. And David said in his heart, has your heart ever been like this? Where it's just under so much pressure. David said in his heart, I shall not perish one day by the hand of Saul. David said, Saul's going to kill me. Let me say this, that was impossible. God said one day David's going to be king. Dr. Paisley said one time, the child of God is immortal until their work is done. And neither the devil or the demons of hell or Saul or anyone could take the life of David. Because God said, David, you're going to be king. But the devil got into David's head, and has now got into his heart. He says, I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul shall despair of me, and to seek me any more out of the coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. David goes into Philistine country. He's doing what his great grandmother's mother did centuries before him. He's looking for the easy option. It seems that surely Philistine country couldn't be any worse than this. Do you ever feel, child of God, that you're better thought of in the world than you are among God's people? Because that's how David said. I'll have more friends in the Philistines than I have among my own people. And sometimes the world puts us to shame. That's how David felt. And he goes into Philistine country. He gets on well in Philistine country for a while. He's given a place called Ziklag. Ziklag becomes the home of him and his men and all who followed him. Now come over to chapter 30. Do you see what happens in Ziklag? I know my time's moving. Verse 1, 1 Samuel 30. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. I can't go into all the details of how David was away and then he's coming back to Ziklag. That the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten David and burned it with fire. Everything that David had worked for was up in smoke. All he has now is a heap of ashes. Verse 2. And had taken the women captives, they had taken hostages. We've seen that recently on our news, how the terrorists come into Israel and took hostages, and what must their family be going through? Well, all the women and the children were taken captive. None of them were slew. Look at verse 2. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David cried that much, he ran out of tears. There's just no more tears. He wept until it was sore. Do you know what it is? Have you ever wept until it hurt? Have you ever wept so much that you have no more tears to shed? And David and his men were greatly distressed. David, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Not only is David distressed at an all-time low, his own people are turning against him. And they're blaming David for everything that happened. Leadership is a lonely place at times. And here's this man, David, who God put his hand upon and said, this is he, you're going to be king. I have a plan for you, I have a purpose for you. And David found himself having to fight the lion and the bear. David found himself running from Saul, who wanted to take his life. David found himself living in a dirty, dark cave. Now David's on his knees. He has wept so much he can weep no more. His heart is breaking. The men want to stone him. Try and tell David that God has a plan for him. Have you ever stood in David's shoes? What must David have felt? He's at an all-time low. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David starts to look to the Lord again. And David begins to turn around. And God will give him that wonderful victory. But here's my point to you this morning. Think of the destination. Think of the preparation, the opposition, the depression, the regression. Now come over to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I promise you we're nearly there. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 3. And I'm skipping out quite a bit of David's life. Second Samuel 5 verse 3. See, all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Do you remember what God said? God said, this is he. I've got a plan for you, young person, this morning. Older person, I've got a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. God has something for you to do. God knows what your life is all about. And David, surely, in all the setback after setback after setback, surely David must have thought, God has given up on me. And God might have meant well, and I say it reverently, but it hasn't come to pass. And David found himself setback after setback, hindrance after hindrance, barrier after barrier, and it looked as if God had given up on David. And David at times gave up on God, but thank God, God never gave up on David. And now he's king. He's king. Because God is still in the throne. And this morning he is Lord. Now let me break this down for you and I this morning as I bring this meeting to a swift conclusion. It tells me at least three things this morning. As I look at my life and you look at your life, and I don't know the cave you're in, I don't know the tears you've shed, I don't know the setbacks, I don't know the depression, I don't know many people here today, I don't know what you're going through. But here's something. You can trust the word of God. God always keeps his promises. Has God given you a promise? You can go to bed on it. You can put your head on it. You can rest on it. You can put your life on it. The Word of God says something about the ways of God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. David must have thought God had lost the plot, and I'm saying it reverently. When David realized he was going to be king, he would never have expected he would spend time in a cave. He would have to go on the run. His own son would betray him. He never would have expected to end up in a cave, to be in Philistine country, to be on his knees with his men ready to stone him. He never would have expected any of this. But when the crown's put upon his head, he can look back through his life at that stage, and I know David has still a while to go, and say, my ways are not your ways, because God's ways are higher than our ways. Do you not understand what's happening in your life? There's that wonderful verse in Philippians where we have a peace that passes all understanding. And I used to think that's a peace that we can't explain, because it's a peace that the world knows nothing about. But I believe what Paul meant when he said it passes all understanding. I think when the bank account's good, when our health is good, when life's good and our family are well, and we're all together for Christmas, another Christmas, it's easy to understand that we have peace when everything's going so well. But a peace that passes understanding is a peace that we have when life doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Because His ways are not our ways. You can trust His Word this morning. You can believe His Word this morning. We may not understand His ways, the Word of God, the ways of God, but God's still at work. And then finally, the worth of God. Isaiah said, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Is He worthy of our trust this morning? Is the God that brought David through the highs and the lows, the good points, the bad points, the hills and the valleys, a God that said, David, I have your life planned before you, you're going to be king, and God was with him every step of the way, and he's crowned king of all Israel. I think you can trust a God like that. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Are you in a cave this morning? Are you on your knees this morning? Is your heart breaking this morning? Is God saying to you this morning, trust me? Trust me. Trust me when it comes to our country. Trust me when it comes to our church. Trust me when it comes to our little family. Trust me when it comes to your life and my life. Through every twist and turn, we can sing, God is still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. He never forsaketh His own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. Jesus Christ is Lord this morning. And as John said in the Hallelujah course, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Praise God, He's on the throne. He is Lord this morning. Listen, you can trust Him this morning. You can lean on those everlasting arms this morning. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we would never seek to minimize what some dear child of God is going through. Lord, we have seen some of the best men and women of God having their lives torn apart. And Lord, we stand back and we scratch our head and we can't make sense out of it. But Lord, we know from this book that we can trust you. We know from this book, God, that you're in the throne and you're in control. Lord, would you just give all of us the grace this morning to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, that the things of earth may grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Lord, encourage some discouraged saint this morning. Lord, may we leave this building just with that hope in our hearts that we're going to trust God for today and trust him for tomorrow. For he is Lord. And it's in and through his precious name we pray. Amen. Going to sing our closing hymn, It's How Great Thou Art, and God willing, the words will appear on the screen in a moment. We'll stand to sing as we get the introduction. Thank you.
Time.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Lord, would you part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, and grant each and every one of us homeward journey and mercies. For we ask it in and through our great Saviour's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.